And so I went back to the basics and I built a proven four-step process that is, we've went and done in our organization that has been the foundation to have the best July in the history of our company, and that I've implemented in other coaching and other organizations for team leaders and teams that I coach, that is getting them back on track to have their best years, best quarters, best months ever. Welcome back to another episode of All or Nothing in Real Estate. I'm your host, Matt Smith, the founder of All or Nothing in Real Estate. As a reminder, this podcast is a movement to give back to this amazing industry that has given so much to me and my family. Today, we have an episode where we're going to unpack a proven process that is proven time and time and time and time and time again to win in any marketplace. As a coach, as a team leader, I get to talk to all kinds of people at these events I go to, the speaking engagements I have, the just conversations that I have with some of the top performers in the industry, and a lot of people are struggling right now. And so I went back to the basics and I built a proven four-step process that is, we've went and done in our organization that has been the foundation to have the best July in the history of our company, and that I've implemented in other coaching and other organizations for team leaders and teams that I coach, that is getting them back on track to have their best years, best quarters, best months ever. And so we're going to unpack that today. And to help me with the details, because I'm not the detail guy, we have the COO of Matt Smith Real Estate Group, Jenna Swift. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure. So Jenna, when I shared with you this four-step process, and you see it every day, right? Mm-hmm. So this is something that we've been doing consistently. One of the things I love about what we share with our audience, it's proven, not theory. And so these are proven things that we do, and we've done it at a high level, and it's worked. We've seen the results, which is why we're implementing in other businesses. But what have you seen and observed from your seat of, maybe if teams don't have this, or before we had this, what is the gap that you've seen and why this, you think this is effective?
People who don't have this, and when we didn't have this, what I see is chaos.
Yeah.
It's just flying by the seat of your pants. I think team leaders feel handcuffed. Agents don't have clarity. Operations doesn't have clarity. Everyone's just kind of going in different directions. That's really the basis of what I see. I think the other thing you'll find too, is as we talk about it, is it's a really simple process, which is what I love about it.
Yeah.
It's not a crazy four-step thing, but it's a really simplified plan that anyone can do. And when you do implement it into your business, that chaos will diminish very quickly.
Really good. I think most team leaders, most agents operate on chaos. And so if you're an agent listening, you're like, I'm not a team leader. Does this apply? Absolutely it does. And so just as we unpack this, I want you to think how you can apply it to your business. Because why does it work for teams? Because team leaders go through this process for an agent. So if you can go through this process for yourself, you will have the same result. And so I think the default in a lot of real estate businesses is chaos,
mm-hmm.
right? I have a couple screws loose, and I'm a little crazy, and I feel like I thrive in chaos, and I get like when it's not chaotic, that's when I get nervous,
mm-hmm.
right? Like it's like the calm before the storm, and so I think that's partially just how I'm wired. It's the experiences that I've went through, but it's also because I'm so growth minded that I realize that growth requires discomfort and requires the unknown, right? And so. Anyway, all that being said is that I really think that you really hit the nail on the head, is that it's just chaos. It's everyone is operates, not everyone, a lot of people are struggling. If you really were honest with yourselves, go in and review your day, go review your week, go review your month, and how much of the time did you spend proactively versus reactively? And I think most people are working on accident and not on purpose. And most people don't know what to do. They are just in reactionary mode 24/7. And then that fuels overwhelm. That adds to the chaos. There's no clarity. There's no structure. And it feels like every day you are working your butt off, but you just keep digging deeper and deeper and deeper. And so we were able to kind of build a simple framework and system. It's four simple steps that helps you get traction, helps you get clarity, gets out of the chaos and into productivity.
And one thing I want to say too is that, because you'd mentioned, like, you know, I operate in chaos, and I think a lot of team leaders relate to that. And I think that chaos works for you. Like that,
but it doesn't work to grow a team.
But it doesn't work in a business.
Really good
and
point.
That's why this is important. That I think a lot, and I think there's resistance to building something like this from team leaders because it works so well for them individually. It's like, well, we don't need it because it works perfectly for me. But in your business, for everyone, you cannot expect that everyone has the same brain, the same everything as you.
You got to take the process. You got to be able to replicate it. Mm-hmm. If you can't duplicate it, you can't scale and you can't grow. And so what is repeatable, duplicatable, and scalable?
Mm-hmm.
And so are there nuances underneath the surface? And are there things people can do the four steps in different ways and different angles? Absolutely. That goes without saying. But I think that if we can give you a framework to follow, it'll get you on the path to out of the chaos. And one other thing that you said, Jenna, I want to really hit on is that I think I've experienced this in my business. And it was not a fun place to be. And I see a lot of team leaders get stuck in that, in the same spot that I was in, and that's being handcuffed. You mentioned that. And I think that we get handcuffed, and I believe that a lot of times our agents get outscripted by the clients, by the leads. Their objections are better than our objection handlers, as an example. They win the script battle. But I also think sometimes as team leaders, we don't have the relationship, the leadership language, the dialogue, the system, the process, whatever it may be, any of those, to actually help facilitate change in an environment of humans. And what happens is we start playing defense and we put out fires with our agents and we start believing that maybe it's not possible to be successful. Maybe our system doesn't work and maybe they can find a different way. And we start operating out of scarcity and fear instead of stepping into our power as a leader. And I would just like a little behind the scenes of like some of the coaching clients that I have right now that are winning, having their best years ever, most profitable, most productive. They get off work earlier. They're happier at home. So many things. The eight clients that I can think of, and there's a handful of them that fit all of those boxes. The common theme in all of them is that they stepped into their power as a leader. And I'm going to give you a step-by-step process of how you can do that and also scale that into your agents to get them into productivity. I think that instead of operating out of chaos, let's give you a simple system to go by that gives you something to follow. I'll just dive into the four steps. Step number one is you got to have a standard. I think every team needs a standard. A standard is not a goal. A goal is a ceiling of it'll be nice to if we achieve. And I think goals are important. I'm not shitting on goals. I think you should have goals. But I think especially if you're struggling, a standard is more important than a goal. So yes, you need to dream big. One of my favorite books in the world is The Magic of Thinking Big. You need to stretch yourself. You need to expand. You need to have this big goal that you have to become the person who can achieve it before you achieve it. You need that in your life. But you also need a floor. So the goal is the ceiling. So it needs to be way far out there, but you also need a floor of I won't fall below. Mm-hmm. What is your standard? And so I think a lot of organizations talk standards, but they don't know what it means and they don't enforce it. And so a standard that is unenforced is not a standard, it's a suggestion, and it won't work. Mm-hmm. And so you need to have a standard. And in our organization, here's the simple playbook is how many, let's start here. Again, there are so many layers we can unpack with this, but let's start very, very simple. How many closings per year does an agent need to have in order to remain in good standing on your team? Now break it down by quarter. So it needs to be a measurable that you can divide by four, right? And so if it can be four, it can be eight, it can be 12, whatever it is, right? Whatever that number is, I want to advise you, start small and you can always grow. Because the goal is not for people to fall below the standard. And it is not it's a standard, not a goal. And so just like so many people set big goals, I think you should. This is not the time for that. It's separate. It is here's an example that I tell my coaching clients. And so as an example in our organization, our standard is 20. And they're like, well, I'll just do 20. I'm like, no, you won't. How many agents do you have right now that have closed 20 or more in the last 12 months? Well, 3 of the 10. Okay, great. So you're going to lose 7 agents? Well, no. I said, okay, then that's not your standard.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have to have a standard that you can enforce. And a standard isn't to be a jerk. It isn't to be mean. It is to set a floor and a pace of who you are as an organization. Who do you identify as? And so whatever that number is, I would highly recommend that you look at your profit numbers and make sure that it can, are you profitable if agents do that? And there's all kinds of stuff that I can take you behind the scenes on, but let's keep it simple here for this podcast. And so let's say the number's 12, one per month. Why does it need to be measurable by quarter? Because I think that agents can have a bad month. I just don't want them to have bad 3 months in a row, right? We don't want a bad month to turn into a bad quarter. Mm-hmm. And so if they don't, so let's say that if they have two closings in Q1, they're below standard. And so step number two is you have a clear standard. Number two is build a playbook to the standard, right? So what is the simple playbook that your agents can follow? I'm talking like five-ish steps. Less is more. If you do these things, you will achieve the goal. You all have a proven process. You all have something that if you have done to get the results that you have gotten that can be duplicated, that you can be repeated, and that is scalable to grow an organization. Simplify that, put it on paper, and then really realize that if they follow that, they will achieve the standard. Step number three is that if they don't achieve the standard, is that you have a very, very clear accountability process. Accountability is not a bad word. Accountability is not a, hey, you're in trouble. Accountability is, hey, you're off track of what you said you wanted to do. I want to do my part as your business partner, and let's get you back on track. And so our accountability meeting is, if you're off standard, is a performance improvement plan. Because your performance needs improvement. You said you wanted to do this. Our standard is this. It's very clearly communicated, and you're below standard. So let's dive in and see how we can improve your performance. And if I'm not willing to get uncomfortable and have that conversation, that means that I'm a terrible leader and I'm not helping you get on track to what you want for your goals. And so you have to have a process for that. And we'll break all these down during this. And step number four is you have to recruit to the new standard. You want to increase the organization. You want to increase the activity. You want to increase the culture. You want to increase the results. You want to increase the energy in your environment. There's only one way to do it that's sustainable and tested and proven over a period of time, and that is recruiting to those metrics. And so that's a simple four-step process. You have to have standards, a playbook to accomplish the standards, an accountability process if you are off track, and you always recruit to the new standard, and you grow your organization from the bottom up. So many leaders want to be top-down leaders, and it's not about the leadership style of do as I say and not as I do is a thing of the past. That does not work. And so you have to bring in new people with new behaviors, new expectations that actually follow and run the play in the playbook to get to the standard. And guess what happens over time? They start getting results. And then the OGs that were resistant are like, how come the new guy's outperforming me? And then they start doing them too. What are your thoughts on that process, Jenna?
One, I hope that everyone who heard it knows that or can recognize how simple it is. It's a really simplified process. And the other thing I want to point out, when we say standard, another word that our coach, John Cheplak, taught us was it's the minimum.
Really good.
And so when you're thinking about it, like Matt made sure to say like, hey, this isn't like a goal. This isn't in an ideal world, like everyone's going to, in an ideal world, it'd be amazing if every agent sold 50 homes a year. That'd be phenomenal. But we have to run a business on realistic metrics and what is proven. We have to be a data-driven
business.
And we
have to realize people are people and life happens. Mm-hmm. And so they're not always going to be on all the time. It's not always going to be perfect. Life's going to happen. Their kid's going to get sick. Something's going to happen in life that's going to slow them down. They're going to want to spend more time with their family. They're going to want to take a vacation. They're going to realize, I don't want to work 80 hours a week this year. Whatever the things are, people are going to be people. And so I think it's important as leadership for us to pivot and stop judging our people and start meeting them where they are.
Yeah.
But in order to do that, let's set a clear standard and expectation of what it takes in order to be in our organization with a proven blueprint that is repeatable and scalable, that if you do this, you will get the result.
Right.
Now the question is very, very simple. Here's the standard. Here's how you do it. And did you do it or did you not?
Yeah. And when you're developing this standard or this minimum in your environment, just some tactical things. Look at your team history. Look at what agents are doing
this
in your marketplace.
On the podcast.
Like, look at all of those different pieces of data. Just like when you are doing an evaluation for a home, for a listing, and you're taking all these different variables. Take all the different variables for this too. Don't just pull a number out of a hat because it sounds great in your head. Look at what your team history is.
Use empirical data.
Yes. Yeah. And be a data-driven business. Don't just pull something out of
Don't guess.
Yeah.
Remove the guesswork. And if you need a place to start, reach out. I'll help you and help guide you through it. But it is extremely simple. And again, I believe in proven. And the teams that have implemented this process are absolutely crushing, right? Our team, we're having the best July in the history of our company this month. Like the best, so July will be the best month in company history.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. This process works, right?
Yeah.
And it's not like there's nothing crazy that happened. We've just been very consistent with this over time.
And one thing I want to say too is with these four steps, this isn't something that we just created and then forgot about. This is something that we're implementing actively like every single day in our business, but it's also something we in leadership are talking about all the time. Yep. I mean, I think almost every coaching call we've had with John, we've talked about these things. In every leadership L10, every meeting we've had, we're talking about all of these individual pieces, seeing where different agents are at, seeing where we can intervene, seeing if our playbook is still where it needs to be. Like, we're auditing these things all the time because we genuinely want our agents to succeed. That's what all these four steps are for, is for success. It's not just for
your
business.
It's not to call them out. It's not to find the failures. It's not to make them feel bad about themselves. It's to give them a proven path to follow that if you do this, you will be successful.
I mean, how many times, you know, I mean, we hear it all the time. Agents, they get their license. You know, they get out of real estate school, they go into the big real estate world, and they're like, well, what the crap am I supposed to do now? Like, I don't know how to do any of this.
Yep.
These things, part of the one of the amazing pieces of being on a team is that you're giving them the tools to succeed. You're giving them the guardrails, the bare minimums of, hey, if you do this, and that's where that number two is so critical, that yes, give them that standard of that your bare minimum needs to be this.
Yep.
But in order to achieve that, here's what you need to do, because they're not getting that when they're getting their license. They're not getting that when they go out into the world by themselves. That playbook is going to be their baby to get them traction.
Yep. Really good. And so on the standard, I want to go a little deeper on that and then we'll go to the playbook. Mm-hmm. Is that when you're developing it, I want to reemphasize this. It is not a suggestion. It's not a, oh, it would be nice if. I literally pose it this way. So in our organization, let's pretend that someone is an amazing cultural fit. They show up every day, they contribute, they're an amazing human, and at the end of the year, they don't hit 20, they hit 19 closings. We've been on performance improvement plan and they still are off track. Am I willing to let that person go? That's a standard.
Mm-hmm.
And it should make you uncomfortable. Because here's the truth. When I coach people, I'm gonna give you behind the scenes, is that there will be a time that comes that we probably lower our standard. Because I think a standard is something we have to enforce. But right now our agents are hitting it. They're thriving and they're hitting it above and beyond. And we have a very simple playbook that if they follow it, they achieve it. And I want to make sure that I want to operate in transparency. That's why I recommend that people start below that.
Mm-hmm.
They say, well, it works for you. It should work for me. I'm like, well, you realize that I had a 50 plus closing per person productivity years ago. Right. So let's put that relative, right. Is that, we're kind of an anomaly in some aspects in our organization. And so let's just be real. How many houses did your average agent sell last year? Let's start there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then we can always add to it. And so I think a lot of people, and again, it's not a goal, it's a standard. And so just be careful with that, because that means that you literally are going to have that conversation with that person that you love dearly. It's a great culture fit that's still been productive in your environment, but they didn't hit your standard. If it's a standard, you got to fire them.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's not a standard. So what is that number? Now you have a standard.
Yeah.
Right. And so what a lot of people have done is like, well, one per month. Okay, great. So who's the best culture fit on your team? Oh, it's Susie. Okay, great. She gets to the end of the year and she sold 11 and you've had 3 performance improvement plan meetings and she's not really made any change in her behavior or her results. Are you firing her? Well, no. Okay, then that's not your standard.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so I really think that that's just a thought process I want people to go through. You have to enforce it or it doesn't work. Second thing is a lot of people get stuck in this. And let me empower you as a leader. Let me help you step into your power. That's what I said the team leaders that are winning are doing. And let me help you understand and unpack why they're able to do that. Step number 4 of this is the only reason why. Is because if you are not willing to uphold and enforce a standard based upon the definition and depth I just went in and that how I explained it, that simply means that you are not willing to be held accountable to recruit to that standard to replace the people that aren't upholding the standard. That's why you don't hold a standard. And so literally it all comes back to your inability to be consistent in the activities that you expect your agents to do for you to do in recruiting. And if you just, if you're not willing to do that, cool. I'm not like calling you out. I'm just saying that don't say it's a standard, because it's not. But you listen to this show because you want to win, and that's what's winning. And so you have to realize that if you are hesitant to enforce a standard, I will tell you why it is each and every time, no matter how many calls it takes to unpack it, it always now it dials into their lack of consistency and execution in the recruiting business. So for whatever that's worth, I hope that was helpful for someone. Standards, I hope I defined that. Next is the playbook. Jenna, what is the playbook to the standard? Where does somebody start?
You need to be looking at, so you're looking at what your standard is. So let's say it's 12 closings a year. What does an agent need to be doing each and every single day, simplified, to reach that 12 closings a year? How many conversations do they need to have? How many appointments do they need to set? Do they need to have open houses? And one thing that I love that Matt, he did a speech on this a while back. And one thing he said is, this is not something that you can R&D from another team. This is something that you have to develop for your team based off of your market, what is working for your agents, based off of your data, what is required for them to hit the standard of your organization. Yep. And give them a clear path of what that looks like, so they aren't operating in complete chaos and blindfolded.
Yeah. So I'm gonna have a little fun with this. Team leaders, I love you. But let me pick on you. So many people reach out, and I love you. Keep reaching out. I want to help. But just reaching out and saying, hey, can you give me your playbook, is not going to help you. You don't understand what it means. You don't understand why we did it. You don't understand how we do it. You don't understand how we implement it. And I think so many people are looking for a magic bullet. And really, the speech that I think you're referring to is that I shared a little bit of this from a stage. Mm-hmm. And what I did was, instead of giving a download of my playbook as a value add, which I like to give away stuff when I speak, instead of doing that, I said, here's, I want to actually help you grow your business. And so first you develop your playbook, you send it to me, I will help you red pen it. And then I will send you mine once you've done this work yourself, mm-hmm. to think through it for your business.
Yeah.
How many people, there was 300 people in that room. How many people do you think would have downloaded the playbook if it would have been a QR code?
All of them.
All of them?
Every single person.
How many
person.
Do you think actually reached out to me with an actual playbook of their own that they developed?
I'm going to say 5 or 10.
3.
Yeah.
Of those 3, I know who they are, remember who they are. All 3 of their teams are doing well in this marketplace. I'm not taking credit for it. They did the work. But they were out of the 300 people, they were the 3 that were willing to do the thing, ask for feedback, ask for help, and they've implemented it somewhat in their business, and they're doing well. And so I think that like, I'm sharing that because the problem isn't in gathering another playbook. The problem is, are you doing the work yourself to sit down and analyze your business? What is our proven process to get to the standard? If an agent does A, B, and C, they will get to Z. Simple. I'll give you step 1. How many conversations do they need to be having per day? How do you define a conversation in your organization? Do you have the database and the leads, and do you have a proven path for them to get to face-to-face or on the phone with these individuals? Let's start there. Another one, very, very simple. Do you have an open house process? Not just, hey, go host an open house, but do you have a process of how to host an open house at such a level that it drives massive traffic into the open house? Do you have an advertising campaign? How many signs are you putting out? What if your agents, all of them did one of those a month? Right? Like, there's simple things that I think we overlook, and we overcomplicate the business. And I want to encourage you to step back and simplify it. And I mean, I believe in this so much, just to give you guys some insight. And don't reach out and ask me for it, because it's proprietary and I'm not sharing it with you. I'm a contributor, but guys, please stop asking for freebies on something like this. Like, you got to do the work yourself. I believe in it so much. Guess what? We guarantee $100,000 per year will pay you the difference. That's the most requested thing, yeah, that I get from team leaders is, hey, can you tell me, yeah, more about your $100,000 guarantee? I'm like, you don't understand what you're asking for.
Mm-hmm.
You're asking for a piece of paper. That is not going to give you perspective on anything.
Because, and here, like, that is massive. $100,000 guarantee, or we will pay the difference. That, I mean, the one thing I keep thinking about is, as you're speaking, is like the quote that I see all the time that I'm going to butcher, but it's the success.
I love it when she butchers quotes. So let's get ready.
The success that you want in your life, in your business, the traction you want, the riches you want, all the dreams that you have, all of that is living in the work that you are avoiding.
Yep.
And this is the kind of shit that matters. Like taking the time, developing the standard, developing the playbook, doing the work versus trying to get the, like, to
grab
have
a handout
something,
and a freebie and think it's the same thing.
Yes. To have a, like, I mean, imagine having a playbook that you believe in so much that you're willing to say, if you follow this playbook and you do not make $100,000, I will personally write you a check for the difference. And if you don't have the ability to say that in your organization, I just implore you that we need to reevaluate on what is the work that we're avoiding that we need to be doing, because you should be that confident. You should be that excited to write a check to have however many people you need to. That's huge. So
yeah, really good. And I think that what you unpacked there is that people are avoiding, right? And I'm guilty, right? We all have a lot of plates that we're spinning. We're all busy. I completely understand. This is not something that you can fucking delegate. This is something that you have to actually believe in yourself. You have to develop. You have to understand. And I could give my playbook to everyone listening to this, and guess what? It probably won't work for you. Because you say, hey, agents, do this because this team did it and it's working for them. And you stop there. What did Jenna say earlier? We have talked about this over and over and over in almost every leadership L10, almost every coaching call with our coach, John Cheplak, almost every sales meeting that we have. We are mentioning some element of this over and over and over, and we're always refining, we are always improving, and I have such belief in this system because I have seen it. I've experienced it with my own eyes, it working over and over and over and over again. If you don't have that, my playbook won't save you. You have to understand what that is in a business. And guess what that requires? It requires you to stop avoiding the leadership that you need to develop in your business to help grow other humans, and realize that your job as a leader is you're in the human resource, human development, human traction business. Stop focusing on other things that don't matter. How do you develop the people? And once you can actually give a proven plan to develop people, like, the book writes itself. Because of the successes that you see in your environment. I'm going to go deeper on this too. I'm going to go on a quick tangent. Is that team leaders, again, I love you. But if you have conversations with me and you ask me for help, I want you to know I do this podcast for free. I do my other podcast for free. I give tons of stuff away because I want to help you. So I say this with all the love in my heart. But if you're not able to recruit in your business, because that's what people ask me for the most, is how do I recruit? How do I recruit? I would be willing to bet one of the reasons that you are struggling with recruiting is, number one, you're not holding yourself to a standard of activity. Let's start there. Number two, you don't have a proven track record of success in your organization. So no one wants to join you because you have not taught anyone else how to be successful. And it's all about you still. And you're leading from authority instead of leading from how can I help other people and humans grow and develop? And how can I create a repeatable, duplicatable, scalable system that helps other people be successful besides myself? And I'm going to develop and devote time into energy into these people. And then we have a system and a process. You know why it's easy for us to recruit? Because our agents are fucking killers. Because we spend so much time developing the human being in our environment. And that's the piece that so many people overlook. And that's the piece that you can't delegate. That's the piece that you have to stop avoiding. You need to lean into. And guess what? Why you get stuck there? It's the hardest fucking thing to do in building a team. But without it, you won't build one. And so stop avoiding the things that matter. Any thoughts on that tangent?
I think you nailed it.
All right, cool. I hope that's helpful for someone. I hope there's something in there someone takes away. I hope I pissed you off. I hope something happened that you go and make a change in your life. All right, back on track. So the four steps. We talked about the playbook. Keep it simple. And now let's talk about accountability. Mm-hmm. Accountability meetings every quarter. Don't micromanage your fucking agents. They're independent contractors. Give them a clear standard, give them a clear playbook, and they follow it or they don't. They get the results or they don't. It doesn't mean you don't have coaching conversations, you don't have meetings, but quit micromanaging your agents. That's not what they signed up for. They're not employees. All right, so accountability conversations each quarter. So let's pretend Jenna's an agent on the team. Our standard is 5 closings per quarter. Let's pretend Jenna closed 2 and she has 1 pending. Okay? Guess what? We're going to have a performance improvement plan meeting. And the very first thing that we're going to pull out, I'm going to say, hey, Jenna, congratulations on the 2 closings. What worked well for you last quarter? We're going to start on a positive. Mm-hmm. It's a performance improvement plan. So let's review your performance. Not here's all the fucking areas that you're screwing up, Jenna. It's how do you feel about your performance? What did you do well? Knowing what you know now, is there anything you wish you would have done differently? Awesome. And we're going to have that conversation. And then we're going to skip to next. And I'm going to pull out the playbook. I'm going to lay it on the desk. And I'm going to say, hey, Jenna, as you know, we have a standard in this organization. And it's 5 closings per quarter. Unfortunately, in this quarter, you fell a little bit short. So there's a gap here. Good news is that's where the growth is. So let's actually have a growth conversation. I want you to read back through our playbook. And let's go back through. And I want you to read in line item 1. Read in line item 2. And as you're reading it, line item 1 says, have X amount of conversations per day. As an example. Okay, great. On a scale of 1 to 10, Jenna, I would love for you to rate yourself. How well did you execute on that last quarter? Read number 2. How well did you execute on that 1 through 10? And she is going to grade herself on her performance. This is not Matt telling me all the things that I did wrong. This is her discovering and having this conversation with herself because I'm facilitating growth in a human to be held accountable, to hold to the standard that she signed up to be a part of. And then at the very end of the conversation, it's really, really simple. You go back through all of those and be like, all right, Jenna, thank you so much. Was this helpful for you? And usually there's an aha, there's a takeaway, there's something. Okay, great. I'm so glad you had that. I'm really glad that this time was valuable for you to help you get back on track. So in order for me to do my part as your business partner here to get you back on track in the next quarter, because I want to be clear, next quarter, we can't repeat the same thing. We need to have 5 or more closings. And so if you were to pick one thing from these things where you had these gaps, which one do you think would move the needle the most in your business if you focused on it? Oh, it's 3. Okay, great. What does that look like specifically? And I'm going to go deep on that. And I'm going to have her create her own business plan of one thing that she's going to obsess over. And guess what I judge for the next week? Not judge. Guess what I
measure.
Guess what I measure. Thank you. Guess what I measure for the next week? I obsess over that one thing. I check in with her on the one thing. Depending on where it is, at week 1, if she's back on track, great. I'm going to do spot checks and I'm going to check in. But at week 1, if she has not done it, her activity has not improved based on that conversation, we're going to have another meeting. And at that point, she is going to tell me and she's going to report to me every single day that she's recommitted to that and she's going to show me proof. Guys, I believe in simplicity. In our environment, you're either productive, you have high productivity, or you have high activity. Maybe, preferably, you have both, but give me one. And so you were either a productive agent, cool, you've earned the right for me to not micromanage you, great. Or you have a gap and you're not on track for your goals, you're not on track for the team standards, and so your activity needs to improve so you can get to productivity. Like, it's really that simple. And so quit running away and hiding from the truth because I think your team needs it. Right now, why I think leaders are winning that are stepping into their powers because agents used to hold all the power during COVID, during the pandemic, because it was like, who can pay me the most? Because all I got to do is open a door. Now, what is winning? Leadership, personal development, people that are actually growing as humans, people that have standards in place. That is what's winning. That requires a different type of leadership. And guess what? There are team leaders right now that are recruiting like crazy because they stepped into their leadership and they're willing to live in truth. And there are agents moving everywhere. High producing agents, new agents, there's teams expanding. There's craziness happening. And there's one thing in common, the leader. And so if you don't have the ability to grow and have the conversation and to stay in your power as a leader, you will never get through to other humans and help them develop into their potential. And so you have to be willing to live in truth and hold them accountable. What are your thoughts on that?
I think with that, some things that I want to point out, when he demonstrated the performance improvement plan meeting, at no point is he telling, explaining, judging, and giving basically, this is what you need to do. Go do it.
Yeah.
Like, it is all led by the agent. It is their plan because again, we're in this for the agent to succeed. This
yes.
is not punishment. This is not, we want this agent to succeed. That's the root. The only
I'm
way that's
taking
going,
my valuable time to spend time mm-hmm. with them because I care that I want them to improve
yeah.
and I want them to perform and I want them to hit their goals, not because I want them to realize all the areas they've screwed up.
Yes.
It's a big difference.
Yeah. And that's why all of it has to be created by them, because it's not going to happen if you just sit there and say, hey, you did this wrong. You didn't hit these closings. You need to do this. You need to do this. You need to do this. Like, you have to be able to get them to find those gaps, to get them to make those commitments, to end that meeting. You have to end that meeting with specific, measurable commitments.
Yep.
And then, like Matt said, after that, he started with stop micromanaging your agents. But I hope you caught, he said, at some point, though, that agent's now earned the right to be micromanaged.
Yeah.
And so now it's time to step in a little bit more. So yeah, when they're performing, no, you don't need to micromanage them. Don't worry about that. But if they're not performing and they've proven that they're not, and now they've made commitments, they've now earned the right.
Yeah. And I want to go deeper on that, because I think micromanagement is a buzzword, right? But I think it's, I want to say what Jenna said, and I want to make sure that you guys understand it. If agents continue to underperform, at some point they earn the right to be micromanaged. But the reality is, I don't call that micromanagement. I call that leadership. Because you have to lead different people differently.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they are struggling consistently, guess what they need? They need more leadership. They yep. need someone to help step up and hold them accountable and help them achieve what they say they want. Just ignoring them is not going to work, right? Like, you owe it to them to help them perform and meet them where they are and help them. And so sometimes the help they need is not necessarily what they want, but it's your job to give them what they need, not what they want.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean by people stepping into their power as a leader. And so quit avoiding accountability, quit telling people where they're wrong. Like, I just think so many people, guess what? I'm not perfect, but guess where I've learned how to do most of this? I've fucked it up before. I've done it the wrong way. And I've just learned from it, and I've just devoted a lot of years and a lot of time learning leadership language and learning how humans behave and how the personal development that I've went through and helping develop others. And it's like, I just want to be the person that other people look to, that I can help them achieve their goals, whatever that is. Right. And guess what? Sometimes that means I got to be the bad guy and I got to say, hey, Jenna, you can do better. Right. And so but Jenna also said something too, and I think I demonstrated this, but I want to make sure I'm clear. Stop telling your agents what the plan is. Start asking, hey, what do you think you should do? Knowing what you know now, what do you wish you would have done differently? Out of all of these things, if you could only pick one, which one do you think would make the most difference in the next quarter to get you back on track? What does it look like specifically? What does it look like daily? Oh, is this one thing each day awesome? Is that something you'd like to commit to? Here's a big one. Jenna, is that your commitment or is that mine? That's yours. Awesome. What can I do to support you as your business partner? I didn't say, hey, do this, do A, B, C, X, Y, Z, because it's my thing and I know it'll work for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's ego. Stop it. Help them create their own plan. And guess what? The plan that Jenna created in this scenario was from the playbook that I have. So it is my plan anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But their psychology is that they're bought in now. It was their idea. They're committed to it. And I'm just here to help facilitate.
Mm-hmm.
And last, and certainly not least, this could be a whole nother podcast, and maybe we do, I don't know. But I think so many people struggle with recruiting for a variety of reasons. And I kind of went on a rant about that earlier. But one of the reasons I think that they struggle is because they think, number one, recruiting is cold calling, which it's not. Number two, they think that recruiting means that they just have to bring in I got to recruit like Matt's team, or I got to recruit like this guy. I just got to bring anyone and everyone in my organization, and I got to protect my culture. And it's just like this weird ego thing. And don't get me wrong, culture is important to me. And I probably have said this before, protect my culture. I can't grow. I got to protect what I got. But anytime you go into protection mode, that's the opposite of growth mode. And so if you want to protect your culture, guess what? You got to bring in new people that help make your culture better, because culture is a living, breathing thing. It is getting better or worse each and every day. The standards that the agents are struggling to uphold and follow, you can either do one of two things. You can spend all your time, energy, forcing an agent to do something they don't want to do, or you can spend that same time and energy going and finding new people that are willing to follow the process, and they do the work, they start to get the results, then the other people that were resistant start to see it, and now they want to do it because it's their idea, not yours. Which of those two do you think is going to grow an organization better? You have to understand human behavior, and you've got to stop creating friction between you and your agents. You got to start meeting them where they are. And instead of trying to recruit to your culture, here's a great exercise. I hope culture is important to you, and I hope you've learned some lessons on culture that I've shared, because it should be. I think agents deserve a great culture. But I want you to think about all the things in your culture that you wish were better, that wish you could change, you could add, you could remove, you could replace, the things that keep you up at night, things that piss you off, that are frustrated, all those things. Get a whiteboard and just write it all down. And I want you to go through all those things and say, of all those things, which is the most important that I improve? What's the next important? Maybe get three of them. And guess what you actually recruit to? You recruit people to those things. Let's say that my agents are just not doing the activity. Okay, great. When I onboard new agents and I start having recruiting conversations, guess what I'm going to focus on? The activity that's needed to get success. Let's say that my energy and my environment is down. I'm going to find people and I'm going to help them. I'm going to increase the energy from the bottom up. Instead of telling people to be more energetic and yelling at them to convince them to be more energetic, I'm going to bring in energetic people. And it becomes contagious. And so whenever you think I'm going to recruit to the culture, replace that with don't recruit to your culture, because what you're really saying is I'm recruiting to all my problems, because nobody's culture is perfect. And so instead of recruiting to your problems, what if you could actually recruit to where you were going, not where you are? You could recruit to and bring new people in such a way that it helped influence the environment and the culture and the direction that you are all collectively going. Would you be more likely to get to where you want to go? That's why recruiting is so important. And so many people struggle with it because they get in their mind, they get whatever it is that happens. It's just mental block that I continually see. And it's like, oh, I've got to stay small. I got to do this. And how are my agents going to react when we grow? And I get it. I've been there. But I've also been on the other side. And I'm just telling you, I've never been happier to when I can literally have a state of the company meeting today. And I tell everyone, guess what our number one goal is? We're bringing in 5 agents a month, guys. Let's go. And I'm not hesitant about it. I'm not scared. I'm not handcuffed. And they understand why it's important. It's how it's going to help them grow their life and their business. That's what's on the other side if you actually do this process and you follow along. Mm-hmm. It gives you the freedom that you want, but you're avoiding it because it's going to be hard to get there. Here's the simple 4-step process that will help you get to that point.
Definitely.
Any closing thoughts?
Nope, I don't think so. There's things in my brain I would love to say, but honestly, I don't want to distract from the core, the simplicity of what we're talking about, that if you execute on these things and do the stuff that you're avoiding, like that's where the success, the traction that you're sitting there twiddling your thumbs wondering, oh my gosh, why am I not seeing traction? That's where it's at.
And how long have you been doing it, right? Here's another thing is, people have applied one of these steps or two of these steps and they've done it once and they think it's done forever. Mm-hmm. It needs to be a constant, consistent, over and over and over and over and over again. Stop doing the one and done leadership stuff. It doesn't work. Awesome. Well, that's a simple 4-step process, guys, that if you implement that in your business, whether you're a single agent, whether you're a team agent, whether you're a team leader, a broker owner, it doesn't matter. That is a proven process. If you deploy that, and if you consistently work on that and you tweak that, that is a proven, simple process that will help you grow your business, get traction, get more productivity from your agents, and allow you to step into your power as a leader. Jenna, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Well, thanks, guys. Appreciate you listening. This podcast is continuing to grow. Really, really appreciate your support. If you don't mind, just do us a favor and share this with a friend. There's someone out there that you know this will help. Send this to someone. Send this episode. Send them our channel. Send them our podcast. And let's continue to grow this movement so we can give back to this amazing industry. Thank you, guys. We'll see you next time.